It's a Sunday morning. This is a teaching called The Drifters. The Drifters. Satan is the enemy, as well we know. And he comes against the minds of believers to deceive them. This is his game. Cause them to get off course. I call this drifting. Drift, the act of driving something along. Instead of being led by the Spirit, he wants to drive you. And he does it through your flesh. You know, like a boat off course. Like a boat just drifting out there. No anchor. Nothing to keep them stable. Just drifting, just adrift. Whatever wind blows, whatever Satan's tried to blow your way, it's to get you to drift. Get off the plan of God. Get your eyes off of the goal. It's a trick. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Isn't there a band called The Drifters? Was that the name of it? I thought. Says here, finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You won't drift. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it sure looks like it, doesn't it? But we don't. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are demons. Our warfare is not carnal. It's not to be met, and warfare is not to be done through carnal means. Not if you want to be effective. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, just keep on walking. To me, to have your feet shod with the gospel of peace, that means you're walking by faith. You're standing strong. You're not diverted by whatever the enemy brings. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what Paul did when he shook the snake off. He just went, ping. Hit the shield, ping. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So this is a sure-footed, anchored stance. This does not move. It's not moved by whatever the enemy brings. You got that shield up and you're ready, and you're whatever comes, you're not moved. You don't drift. You don't waver. This is Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Good scripture. All right, now let's go to James. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I remember reading in Faith Food, I think it is, Brother Hagin, he's in bed, and he gets attacked in the middle of the night. And he said it was severe. He said, I just started laughing. He said, I don't mean Holy Ghost laughing where it's easy. He said, I mean it was hard because he was in pain. He just started laughing. And I think the devil said to him, well, this time you're not going to get a heal. And he just started laughing. The devil said, what are you laughing about? He said, I'm already healed. And the devil just left. He counted it all joy, whether he felt like it or not. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, if we learn this stance, we'll be perfect, it says here. We won't lack anything, because we always will be victorious. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. A drifter! For let not that man think that he shall receive anything in the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I was thinking about Spaceballs, where he tricked him. He says, what's with you, Mon? You know, it's just going, tricked you again. Isn't that the way the devil is? I fell for it again, Lord. I fell for it again. Well, then say, Lord, I'm sorry I fell for it again, and get right back to your stance. You know, Saul was a drifter. Somewhere along the line, though, he didn't repent, and he just kept going his own way. So we don't want to go there. That's what Brother Hagin always said. You know, if you miss it, you miss it. Just get repent, get right back where you need to be. Do it quick. Yeah. We're all training, you know. We're all being trained in this walk of faith. So there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We just keep on walking. Here is the drifter, double-minded because of circumstances. Now you understand why in verse 2, James recommends that you count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Divers simply means motley, or various in character. Talk about Motley Crue? Yeah. Not just sometimes, but all times. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, according to how you feel. No, it's not about how you feel, ever. Drifting's like fishing to me. The mind is at peace and rest, and Satan begins to interject thoughts that causes the peace to go and stress to set in. When this happens, you have taken the bait. Yeah. Philippians. Chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord when? Rejoice in the Lord when? Always, or alway. And again I say rejoice. 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me doing, the God of peace shall be with you. This is an interesting scripture here, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. I'm thinking, why would he put that there? I just got it. When we get out of moderation, we open ourselves up for those attacks. And also, if we're thinking on good things, it's going to be hard-pressed for the bad to get in, right? I believe so. All right, we have to keep that firm-footedness in our, it's our spiritual stand. Firm-footed, not drifting. This also applies to suffering. Nobody likes to suffer, but it goes with the territory. 2 Timothy, when it goes against the flesh, it's painful. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. If anybody had a beef, it would be Paul. Okay, with that, 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, like, what now? But rejoice. Oh, God, no. That's like count it all joy when you're falling to divers temptations. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, it's because you're doing something right, not because you're doing something wrong. That when His glory shall be revealed, you shall may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He's evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as murderers or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet in any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Nobody likes suffering. Peter, as well as Paul, were well acquainted with suffering. They came to see it as part of the race God called them to run. All right, turn to 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 16. This is Paul speaking here. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who's offended? I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Now, none of us is really can even touch Paul and the things that he went through. You see Paul's struggle here, but God gave Paul the grace so that he could stand strong and not drift off course when all the persecution came on him. Okay, 12. 1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions or revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up unto paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul, because of where he stood, he had the messenger of Satan that buffeted him, and he had a lot of things he had to go through. But he learned. God said, I'm not taking it off, but I'm giving you the grace to walk it out. Don't like that either, but anyway, that's the way it is. You see Paul's struggle. Okay, we read Acts 16 in the last teaching. I'm not going to read that again about the slave girl, but he became well seasoned with this lifestyle. Wherever we went, it seemed like demonic activity. People raised up against him and all that kind of thing. That just kind of came. He learned to go from groaning to glorying. From groaning to glorying. Lord, get this off of me. Oh, I take pleasure in infirmities. I don't know if I'm there yet. Did he drift like the sailors on the driftwood? After shipwrecking, you know, before, whenever the hurricane for 14 weeks and some of the sailors, you know, when the ship came apart and they were drifting about on the driftwood, did he drift like them on the driftwood? No. He got up on the island, the first rail out of the box, what happened? The viper comes out of the heat, fastens itself on his hand. Yeah. All right. When you decide to walk in the Spirit, not given to the flesh, you will suffer. There is no getting around it. The aim here is to get you to see that it is part of the walk you have been called to. And we, like Peter and Paul, learn to make it a part of our walk, and we handle it like victors and not victims. The way you do that is not to drift mentally off the goal. It's just like right now with the audit going on. And all this list of stuff that's coming down that the deep state's pulling, it's all to get you off of Arizona, because there's all these states lining up right behind them that are fixing to start auditing also. When that domino falls, it's going to go all around the country, and that goes all the way around the world, because every nation in the world are watching America, because, you know, if America falls, we fall. Yeah. All right, a couple more scriptures here. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. See, he didn't look at what he was going through. He looked at beyond that, at the go. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. This is drifting. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening unto the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. So what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? See, if we look at it that way, like our natural Father that gave us correction, that our Heavenly Father is doing also, this is just our spiritual walk. It helps us to look at it differently. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Okay, one more scripture here, Philippians 3. Brethren, account not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we've got to keep our face on the goal and not let our minds drift off course.